The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Gonna be getting into mostly postseason coverage tonight. A lot of surprises, depending on who you talk to. I'm a little surprised. And so we'll be getting into a lot of that. We will be doing an all Red Sox show on the midweek. So just kind of biding our time as these postseason games go, and then we'll probably hit the ground running first week of November, and it'll be steadily Red Sox related going forward. With me tonight, I am Terry Cushman, by the way, joined tonight by Doug Aitchison and Chris Felico. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing great, Terry. How are you doing?
Not doing too bad.
I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain.
All right. That's good. So I want to start by talking about that delicious turkey that the broadcast crew is showing. Apparently today's Canadian Thanksgiving. I'm not okay. Up on
a lot of times page. I was watching, and a lot of times I have the games on mute.
Oh, and yeah.
So I didn't totally hear what they were talking about, but I saw him and Smoltz eating the turkey.
Yeah. What's the other guy's name? Joe Davis, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah. Or Joe Buck Jr., whatever you want to call him. Yeah. But he was like cutting it, and I was like, oh. And I'm on I've lost a lot of weight, you know, about 70 pounds in the last, 18 months. And so I don't eat like a ton of food. I'm like an intermittent faster. And my last meal's at noon. So when they're like throwing that in my face at like 8 p.m., I just want to go get a rotisserie chicken. Doesn't even have to be turkey. You know what I mean?
Oh. I'd almost rather the rotisserie chicken.
Oh, they're so good. They're never dry. No. They're really fatty and probably not good for you, but so tasty.
Yeah.
Chris, you're Italian. You must have like lasagna for Thanksgiving.
You know what? I would actually like if I had lasagna, because
I would too.
Turkey person.
I actually do. But what we do for every holiday is, so I grew up in my Italian house with my Italian grandparents, and we every holiday is, first we do pasta, Italian meatballs and meats and sausages, and we have all that, and then we wait like an hour or so, and then we do turkey and like the traditional.
Just give me the lasagna.
Yeah, we all fill up on the Italian.
Yeah. I'm mostly Irish, but like I love everything Italian, if I'm being completely honest.
That's the best.
I love a beef stew in the crock pot, but give me that lasagna any day. So, yeah, before we get into it, I'm watching the remaining teams, and game one is about to start on the National League side in a handful of minutes. The Brewers versus the Dodgers. They haven't gotten started yet, but both of those teams have been just phenomenal thus far. And then on the American League side, the Detroit-Seattle series was the series of the postseason so far. Yep. You know, lots of extra innings, games close. I thought the Mariners might have underachieved there, but man, these teams are just head and shoulders way better than the Red Sox. Like we didn't have any business getting past that, that first round, I don't think.
Yeah. Seemingly they are better, but I do think the playoffs are so unpredictable, and a lot of it is just the team you match up against. Like, because I'll be honest, going into this series as far as with Toronto and the Mariners. I thought the Mariners had no shot for the exact reason you just said, Terry. I actually picked the Tigers to win that series, and I had a pretty good run, and had the Tigers won, I would have been nearly perfect, with the exception of the Yankees, Blue Jays, because I just didn't expect that. But I thought the Mariners not only underachieved, I'm like, wow, they just literally went through every pitcher imaginable to get past that series. And the way Toronto was playing the Yankees, I'm like, this is lining up perfectly for Toronto. Like, they're going to slaughter them. And right now, I mean, you talk about Thanksgiving. Well, right now, Toronto's being served an absolute ass-whooping. never mind a turkey. And they're about to be down 0-2. So, I mean, the playoffs are just very unpredictable, especially on the American League side. And do I think the Sox would have beaten either one of these teams? No, although they may have fared okay against Toronto. You don't know. And you also don't know against the Mariners. Like, we played them pretty well this year, too. But it doesn't matter because we didn't play well against the Yankees when it mattered. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like, you know, the teams that were best all year, you know, are there. And Seattle's just they're just hot right now at the right time. And that 15-inning game, I mean, that can go either way. You know, that's just a tough game. That's a tough way to lose a series. You know, that deep into a game, and you know, and especially then the team goes on to go up 2-0 so quick like that. You feel like if you're a Tigers fan, you definitely feel like that could be us right now, up 2-0. But man, see, I really hope it's Seattle, Milwaukee. I don't think the MLB will like that very much. But you know, two franchises going for their first title that have been playing great. I mean, they've been crushing the ball all playoffs, putting up a lot of runs. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
You know, I think the Mariners definitely underachieved. And I do agree with Chris also that had we done a prediction show, I 1,000% would have picked the Blue Jays. I mean, they just looked so yes. good against New York. They were just firing on all cylinders. A pretty well-balanced team. I'm not sure about the bullpen, but rotation, lineup, Toronto looks very good. And now that we're seeing the Mariners kind of come alive here in Toronto on the road, I'm just wondering is this the real Seattle here? Because they've got guys that can hit.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Rodriguez, you've got Naylor having a really big game tonight. You've got Eugenio Suarez on the roster, and I don't know if he's done a ton of damage so far in the postseason so far, but he can. And Randy Arozarena as well. I mean, there's a lot of upside with this offense tonight.
Cal Raleigh.
Cal Raleigh, absolutely.
60-point
yeah, MVP. MVP.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Seattle's one of those teams that you don't see a lot of. You know, if you're not living in Seattle, you don't see a lot of them. And I mean, this has been a great couple series now for Josh Naylor, like a really great, I don't want, like, baseball fans know him, but you know, you make your name in the playoffs when everyone's watching, and he's just been unbelievable.
Yeah, Josh Naylor was one of the bright spots even for the Guardians last year, right? Like against the Yankees, because I mean, they were completely outclassed by the Yankees, but he was one of the guys that was a little bit of a thorn in their side in that series. The difference really was Soto for the Yankees in that series and why they advanced. But yeah, the Mariners, they didn't look that crisp. And the Tigers just looked like the Tigers reminded me, and I said this at the beginning, I thought they had 2021 Red Sox vibes where they go in, they win that first series. And then, you know, I thought they were going to get past the Mariners, and I figured they would lose to Toronto and the ALCS. But, you know, to be honest with you, the Mariners could have won that game in like the 10th inning. I think in the 10th, 11th, 12th, it seemed like every inning they ended that game in a double play. And they could have won it with like bases loaded, second and third. I mean, it was pretty wild to say the least. And, you know, they earned it. I thought they were going to get absolutely manhandled against Toronto for all the reasons. I mean, I think it just took so much out of them to get there. But, and listen, it's still young. It's even if they're down 0-2 Toronto, I mean, they're the type of team that wouldn't shock me if all of a sudden they put football scores up the next
year. For sure.
Like, they have that capability. I think the problem for Toronto is, and I think it was the problem we all thought, even possibly with the Yankee series, I just didn't have the confidence that if they're not putting up football scores, they don't have the pitching that I can confidently say is going to get them past a good team. And, you know, the interesting thing is the Mariners, they're kind of going to prove that, like, or at least show the fruits of the labor of going for it at the deadline, because they were one of the teams that really went for it at the deadline. And I mean, it paid dividends for them. They ended up winning the division. And I mean, even though they kind of sputtered a little bit against Tigers, and it's, you know, there's a lot of people out there that think not playing baseball that first round can be a detriment, that you could be cold if you get a team that's hot coming out of it. And they figured it out. They got past it. I mean, let's face it, in a couple innings, they're more than likely going to be two games away from the World Series. And to your point, Doug, if we get Mariners Brewers, there's going to only be like a 250,000 people that watch this World Series. Uh-huh. But man, for those 250,000 people, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I think the Mariners are going to win it, especially hearing that Max Scherzer might be pitching game four for Toronto in Safeco. It's a tough pathway, I think, for the Blue Jays. And it's funny because the Detroit series was super compelling because they were down 2-0 and then came back and forced game five. And, you know,
and Scooble pitched amazing.
Yeah. And so, you know, so that was a fun series. And you think back to 04 when we made history in this round by being the only team in history and still to this day to ever be down 0-3 and then to come back and win four straight. So I don't know if any of these teams have that type of run in them. Like I guess the Dodgers could do it. If the Brewers go up 3-0, I wouldn't write the Dodgers out.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just don't see Toronto going on a magical run like that, but Seattle going to the World Series, that's cool. And I keep forgetting to check the schedule, but I'm going to be flying out of Seattle on Sunday. Oh, I forget the date. It's the last Sunday of the month, I think. And that would be the World Series. So I don't know if the Mariners would be at home for that or not, but my flight doesn't leave till midnight.
Okay.
So I wouldn't mind getting a super cheap ticket, and I'm a cheap person. You know, I don't spend a lot of money on much, but, and then just maybe catching a few innings and being,
that'd be awesome.
Cause yeah. Wait, in Seattle of all places.
Yeah.
Sorry, did you say that the Mariners were up 2-0? In that series, or down 2-0? Were you talking about in the last game?
I thought they weren't they up 2-0 on Detroit?
Or no. It was the Detroit actually won the first game, then Seattle won.
They did. Then Google they won.
Tied it and forced a game five, Detroit.
Okay, my bad.
I was like, damn, did I mess something up?
You're right, because it wasn't even Scooble that pitched that game one. I think it was Flaherty, and they won that game.
Oh, know, right. And Scooble pitched game two, right?
Yeah. Game two, and he pitched well, but they just lost.
Yeah, right.
My bad.
It's okay. Trying to preserve the only good thing about the Red Sox 04.
Yeah. Exactly. And that was the DS, though. So that wasn't the round that was applicable.
Yeah,
it was the LCS. I forget. Who did we even face in the DS in 04? Was it the Angels?
Angels. Yeah. Ortiz hit a walk-off to end that series.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Gotcha.
And then in 03, we were down 0-2 to the A's, right? We came back and won 3 straight.
Yeah.
Was that 03? Okay.
I think it was 03.
It was 03.
Trot Nixon hit a walk off, I think, in one of those games. Maybe.
I believe you're right.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
And then we faced the Angels again in 07 in the first round. Manny had a big walk-off.
Manny hit a walk-off, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we had the Indians at the time.
Yeah, the 07 ALCS doesn't get talked about enough.
We were down. It was similar. We were down 3-1.
Yeah. That was a great team. That Indians team was really good.
Jason Bay hit a huge three-run home run in that game five or six. I forget which one. But
yeah, and we had to beat CeCe.
Who won the Cy Young that year?
Yeah.
Nip Josh Beckett. But Josh Beckett was...
Which was bullshit. Yeah, Josh Beckett was
he had
so
more
good
wins.
That year.
Yeah. But he got the... ALCS MVP. Yeah.
We pitched three games in that series.
Yeah.
Yeah. And wasn't that they had the was that the World Series or the ALCS that had the team come out and they had his ex-girlfriend sing the national anthem on the day he started?
That was Beckett?
Yeah, I think it was the Indians. And there's a funny story that he told the coach. Just for the record, I dumped her. And then he went out and went like eight innings and shoved.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was that series.
I
don't remember her name, but I remember that happening.
Beckett's funny. Like just a handful of years ago, long after he retired, he was at a bar and apparently was jawing at the lead singer of a band, and then he gets up on stage and spear tackles him and gets arrested. And then in his mugshot, he's laughing about it.
That's awesome.
I'm a big Josh Beckett fan.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was so good.
Danielle Peck.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was a country singer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I still don't know her, and I'm the country guy on the crew, but and then so finally over on the National League side, you got the Brewers and the Dodgers, and a lot of people are thinking, oh yeah, the Dodgers will end up with it, you know, and perhaps they will, but the Brewers were 6-0 against the Dodgers during the regular season.
They were the best team in the league.
Yeah,
they were. I
still think it's very similar to like Toronto. The reason why I picked the Yankees in the last series, like until Toronto proved it, I didn't think they could do it. The Brewers are very similar. I feel like they're kind of like the paper tigers of really all of Major League Baseball, but specifically the National League, like until they can do it. And they're another team. They're very similar to the Mariners, where they struggle against the Cubs. You know, I picked the Brewers to win that series, I think, in four. And, I mean, listen, you go to a game five, anything can happen. They ended up getting out of it, but I feel like the Dodgers just really haven't been tested at all in this postseason. I mean, they absolutely just annihilated the Phillies. I mean, I know they won in a crazy fashion, but they made that series really quick. So I think everything's pointing in the direction, which could be to your point though, Terry, why we should all expect them not to win, because it seems like this playoffs has been crazy. But I know the MLB certainly probably wants, because it looks like we're probably getting the Mariners. They're like, please God, let the Dodgers win. Because at least it keeps the whole villain thing alive. You know, you got a lot of Dodgers fans, and then if you're not, they've become like the new Yankees. Like, you want to watch them lose now at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if the Brewers were to win this series in seven, I think that's okay. As long as it's an epic series, I think MLB will be okay with David beating Goliath here. And it's two Cinderella teams. I don't think the Mariners have ever played in a World Series. They've never won one. I don't think they've ever played in one. And I know the Brewers went to one in the 80s, but have they ever won one?
No, they've never won one.
Both teams haven't. The Mariners have never been there, and the Brewers have never won one.
Okay. So that's a fun World Series. Yeah, like definitely. I'm watching it. And I know Celtics season is getting underway here in what, at some point next week.
Next week, yeah.
Next year when Jason Tatum's healthy.
Yeah, who knows what, I mean, and they made some trades. I'm not a big Celt guy until the playoffs, which makes me incredibly fair weather, and I'll admit that. But and the Patriots finally rolling again.
They're looking really good.
At least they're relevant, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're looking good, and their schedule looks very easy, so it could be a good season.
Beat Buffalo, but despite all that, regardless of any Boston team playing, I'll be watching the World Series when able.
Yeah, and like Chris, you were saying, like Milwaukee's a team that's like you kind of can't really trust them until they do it, And I agree. And the Dodgers are like the opposite, where it's like you kind of have to pick them until they lose.
Yeah, until they prove that they lose. Like, you know? I have to pick them.
Yeah, so it's just a series where it's just like you kind of feel like you have to pick the Dodgers, but I don't think anyone will be that surprised if Milwaukee wins this.
Yeah, no, I mean, I certainly wouldn't be surprised. They're talented enough to do it. It's just it's the mental thing, like you said. Yeah. Until one proves that they're going to do the opposite of what you think, you have to go the way that they've been going.
If the Brewers, who are going to have home field advantage, by the way, if they can go up 2-0, I just wonder, will they be in the Dodgers' heads based on the way the season played out in the season series?
I think so.
That's the one thing to watch.
You go down 2-0 to the, you know, the team that had the most wins in the league that, you know, have proven that they can put up a lot of runs. You know, Milwaukee looks like they're having, you know, when they're rolling, they have fun. You know, and that might be, you know, you go down 2-0 to a team that's, you know, loud and having fun and putting up runs on you, that can definitely, you know, get in your head.
I think until the Dodgers, if they didn't win the World Series last year, I would probably say, yeah, I think they would. They just strike me. They have enough veterans on that team and enough talent that I don't think anything is going to get in their heads. It's going to take them literally being knocked out for them to feel poorly about themselves. And even then, depending on how the offseason shakes out, like I just, even if they were down 0-2, I wouldn't count them out. I'm not saying they'd win, but I don't think that they would get in their heads. They just don't strike me as that type of team.
Well, I mean, you've got on the Dodgers side, you're probably going to have Yamamoto go game one. I haven't looked that up to confirm it, but he'll go one of the first two games. You've got Sasaki in there. Tyler Glasnow looked really good in that start. So they have Shohei. The pitching, the Shohei, exactly. And the Brewers have the pitching too, but just not quite the offense. So I don't know, but if you
Quinn Priester got rocked,
did he?
He didn't even get out of the first inning.
Oh my bad! I must not have seen that game.
He got rocked. I think that was game four. I think
okay. It was game four.
Yeah, he got rocked. He was rattled.
And what was I gonna say? I forgot where I was gonna go with that, but. The manager situation too. I mean, Craig Counsell finally leaves Milwaukee for Chicago and then gets beat. Yeah. It's just so, yeah. Lots of manager openings. Mike Schilt stepped down. I think he cited mental health and being burnt out basically, but AJ Preller just can't keep a manager out there in San Diego, and he's had some really good ones the last few times. So that's interesting. Rob Thompson will come back to the Phillies next year. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but he's coming back. And do we know Aaron Boone's status? Have they said one way or the other?
But Aaron Boone's coming back. All the indications in New York here.
He's under contract, at least.
He's got an extension. I don't think he's going anywhere. In fact, if I had to say out of the two of them, I would say Cashman would be more than likely to go before Boone at this point, as crazy as that sounds.
And that does sound crazy, but you could be right. AJ Hinch apparently signed an extension earlier in the season, but I couldn't imagine the Tigers would let go of him. The thing with the Tigers, like they've kind of validated themselves with two postseason runs. And even though they got tossed again in the LDS series, I mean, they put up a hell of a fight. You know, I don't think there's much to be ashamed of there, but if they want to regain the identity they had from 07 through 2014, they have to sign Skubal. And every Red Sox fan right now is trying to make the case that we could do it. Every Yankees fan is trying to make the case that they could do it. Detroit just has to do it. I mean, why? What are you selling to your fans if you don't lock him up?
I would say especially since they never, in that run, they never won. You know, like if they got one in that run, maybe, you know, they could kind of lay on that. But they had such good teams and they never won. And now they have the best pitcher in baseball and they have a good team. And, you know, they have another shot at another run. And they need to capture it. And, you know, that starts with school 100%.
I think the difficult part for Detroit is that even if they sign him, they'll be a perennial contender. I still think they're a big bat away from being able to be a true contender for a World Series. And if you sign school, I don't know if they're, I mean, could they? Yeah, they have the resources to be able to do it. I just don't have the confidence they will. And I think if you're Scooble, you have to think to yourself, like, okay, if I don't re-sign here, the Yankees will want me. If I go to the Yankees, I mean, you've got Cole, you've got Max Fried, and Schlittler, if he turns out to be the phenom all of a sudden. And then you have Aaron Judge, right? Like, that's a pretty good place to be if you're a pitcher. Let's say the Red Sox do maybe decide they want to spend some of this Devers money. Don't count on it, but let's just say they do. Wow, I get to go with Crochet. And they're a bat away, but at least unlike the Tigers, I have Crochet. Now it's just a matter of getting that bat. And again, we have the financial resources to do it. And out of the two of us, as crazy as it sounds, I would trust us to spend the money before the Tigers. And I'm sure there's other teams out there. I'm sure that the Dodgers are probably salivating and figuring out how they could defer the money for the next 200 years to have Scooble on that team. So it's going to be interesting. It's a matter of if they offer him the money, does Scooble take it? More than likely he will, because no one's going to want to have to put that off and risk injury to cost themselves hundreds of millions. But if the Tigers don't and have absolutely no intention of spending it, do not be shocked. He will probably be moved this offseason or at the deadline. Because if you're not going to lock him up, it just makes absolutely no sense not to get rid of him and try and get assets that you have that are controllable and obviously cap friendly.
I think more likely than not, he would go at the deadline. I think they'd want to see how next season starts. Maybe if they're on the fence about signing him long-term to, you know, a 10 or 12 year deal, it would buy them more time to kind of convince themselves of that. But I have very little confidence the Red Sox would unload for him in what would almost certainly be a $400 million contract, 400 plus, I should say. And it's just better. I mean, I look at the sport in a way, and baseball is better if Detroit is good, you know? And so I kind of want Detroit to just do it. I think every team should sign their guy.
I agree.
And, you know, and
yeah.
So, you know, that's what I would like to see. I don't know about the Yankees, and is pitching really the Yankees' problem right now? I think it's the offense. I think they need a balanced lineup.
Well, their offense is definitely an issue, but I think what we did see is that, number one, Cole, like, he could get hurt, right? Like, this isn't the first time he's missed significant time with the Yankees. So that's kind of this glaring, you know, theme where, like, they're one bad pitch away from him being in that same spot. And the other thing is, even if you do have him, Max Fried, he was not consistent in these playoffs. They don't really have that bona fide second, again, unless Schlittler becomes something that we all didn't see coming, they have Cole. Max Fried is not a bona fide two in a big spot, and Rodon never has been. So, yeah, we could say that the pitching's not the biggest deficit for the Yankees. But the thing with the Yankees is, though, too, is all it takes, and it started to happen at the end of this series, is Judge to have a good postseason at the start, right, where he's hot from the start, and all of a sudden their offense is a lot different if he's hitting. So,
yeah,
well, I don't
he's
know.
He's an MVP that doesn't show up in the playoffs. So,
no, he is, and it's. But the truth is, it's the A-Rod effect, right? It only takes one good postseason for that narrative to completely change.
Yeah, no, that's true, and his numbers were like pretty good He hit like 500, but they were like all
singles. They were all singles. They were all meaningless singles. With the
exception they really were. Yeah, he had that one big moment, one big home run, you know, which was, you know, all right, good for you. But he's proven, you know, it's a big enough sample size now to say he is not good when the lights are the brightest. That a lot of his big hits come in like garbage time.
Well, he did have that big strikeout with the bases loaded, and that could have really flipped the narrative had he, even if he just ripped it up the gap there, you know. Yep. So that was unfortunate, but I would say this is probably one of his better ones. So we'll see if he can build on that. One guy to watch for, and he's the guy I want, and we'll get into it throughout the winter, but it's Pete Alonso. I want him over Bregman. Let Bregman walk.
Give me Alonso. Yeah.
But I think he's such a perfect fit for the Yankees as well. And the Yankees lost Soto to the Mets. So what a payback to snub them and get one of their guys. So, you know.
Terry? Here's the only thing I'll say, and I don't mean to cut you off, is I don't disagree. I do think the Yankees could think like that, but it's not a great move for them in the sense that he's a right-handed bat. Like, if they wanted to really make sure, they should have kept Soto, because, I mean, a lefty at Yankee Stadium is a lot more valuable than a right-handed bat. We need one. If it comes to, obviously, you know, the cost, obviously I trust the Yankees to outbid us. I'm almost 100% certain we are not going to sign Pete Alonso after the reports I saw today in New York as far as the contract that he wants. I think it was basically like 7 years. There's no way the Red Sox are going for a 6 to 7 year deal with Pete Alonso. It's not going to happen.
Well, I don't think he's getting seven anyway, six at the most, I'd say. But, and Alonso did say, at some point last week, he knows at some point he will be a DH. And I think that's fine. If that's years 4 and 5 or 4, 5 and 6, that's okay, you know. And I think after seeing what he would do in that ballpark on year one, I mean, sign me up. He's the guy I wanted last winter too. And I mean, when we signed Bregman, I was like, well, all right, we finally did something. So it wasn't the worst thing ever, but yeah.
No, I'm with you. He's number one.
Yeah, for me. As far as free agents, that's who I want. And back to your point with Skubal, I'm selfish, so I could give two craps if the Tigers are good. I want the Red Sox to be good. That's all I care about. But for $400 million, I don't want Skubal. If we're giving up assets and then having, like, to me, the only way I'm spending over $250 million on a pitcher is Paul Skenes. That's it. Like, you want to give away the farm, get him, and then sign a new deal? That's the guy. I'd hand him $300 million tomorrow.
How old is Skubal? He's probably, what, 28 or so?
28 or 29, I want to say.
Pulling it up right now. He is 1996. He turns 29.
He's 28.
In November. November 20th. So, yeah, I mean, that's probably a 10-year deal, I would say. Starting at age 30, but the Tigers could get that done. I mean, 40 times 10, that's your $400 million deal. So, and that's market value for a perennial Cy Young guy. So, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. And getting back to Gerrit Cole, I think he's going to be okay. Usually the elite high end guys, those guys recover. The guys that scuffled along the way, like Noah Syndergaard, flamed out, which surprised me. Bieber has been okay. I don't know if he's going to be 100% what he used to be, but I think Cole will be okay.
I think you're right. I think that's true across like all sports too, kind of. You see, like really the elite guys come back from the Achilles and the ACLs, and the not-so-elite guys don't as well. I think you see that across the board.
I think physically and his stuff is elite. The one thing I will say about Cole, because I do get to watch him probably more often than you guys, unless you're watching the Yankees on your off time. I hope not. He's not mentally the competitor though that some of those guys are. And that's where I question with him, that like he's the type that if he gets like a little flare of something, like I'm gonna take the time versus like give me the ball until the damn arm falls off. He's not that type of guy, and that's why I say it could just be a little thing. And even if it's not like a season-ending injury, it could be a month, it could be 2 months. And for the Yankees, that's forever if you're a Yankees fan, and especially the way that they play. They're a completely different team without him than when they have him. So,
yeah, he was terrified to face Devers.
He's terrified. He was terrified to face the Dodgers too. I mean, he can say whatever he wants. He looked like he was crapping his pants from the first pitch.
I could get in trouble for saying this, but he's so beta compared to like a Garrett Crochet or a Chris Sale type guy.
100%.
You know, he whines and just cries in his post games, you know, and he sounds like Kermit, like everyone, like everyone makes fun of, like, he's not that rah-rah guy that Josh Beckett.
Right. Eovaldi.
Yeah. And so I thank goodness. And not that we were really in play for him that winter. I think that was Heim's first winter. So we were never going to do anything, but but yeah, so all right, well, why don't we wrap on this? It was half postseason, half random stuff, and I hope everybody enjoyed it. But we'll be back Thursday, and that will be you know, a mostly Red Sox related show. So, so everyone enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy, I mean, you got all league championship games this week, so should be a fun one if you're still trying to get your baseball fixed before the weather gets cold. Take care.